Good evening.
Reflecting back on some things that Josh said this morning about the church coming together and encouraging and building one another up, I confess that when I come here and we sing together, I'm encouraged. One reason is because when I'm singing with you all, I sound so good. Yeah, I really sound good. But when I get home, I sing. I hear people say, shut up, hush, leave, go away, go outside and sing. We're going to pick up where we left off at last week. For those who don't remember, last week we had said that we were starting a series of lessons on things I loved. And if you remember last week, we talked about the church. We talked about some reasons as to why we ought to love the church. We stated, first of all, because of its founder. Then we went on to say we should love the church because of its head. And then we moved on down and we said that we should love the church because it stands for truth. And last of all, on that list of reasons as to why we ought to love the church, we said because of the many spiritual blessings we enjoy in the church. So now we'll pick up here on part number two. We'll be looking at the concept of loving the Word of God. Things I love. Do you love the Word of God? Do you really love the Word of God? If you take this, if members of the Lord Church will love the church and love the Word, a whole lot of problems could be solved in the church. A whole lot of work could be done for the Lord. If these things was in place, if members of the church truly and really love the church and love the Word of God. So here, this is where we're going to start at this evening for just a little while. Why do you love the Word of God? Has that question ever been posed before you? Can you give me five reasons? Can you give me one reason, three reasons, four reasons, two reasons as to why you love the Word of God? I've heard some people describe the Bible as a good book. It's more than just a good book. It's an inspired book. It's the very Word of God. Question is this evening, do you really love it? Do you really love it? I read an article a few weeks ago. The article was comparing the Word of God to a cell phone. Word of God to a cell phone. How people can't go a day without being on that cell phone. How a person, if he's leaving the house and he realizes he left his cell phone, he'll quickly turn around and go back and get it. And the writer went on to say, is it that way with the Word of God? Can we go a day without picking up the Scriptures? If you was going to worship God and you realized you left your Bible, would you turn around and go back and get it? Does it travel with you at work? Do you love the Word of God? Let's just discuss that for a little while. Things I love. We ought to love the Word of God, first of all, because it's the power to save. Because of its power to save. Did you know that people spend a whole lot of time reading newspapers? A whole lot of time reading astrology, psychology, all sorts of magazines. But those things cannot and does not have the power to save. Only the reading and the following of the Word of God is the power to save. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. And look what the Apostle Paul says when he writes to the church at Rome. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He gives a reason, because it's the power of God to all that would believe. First to the Jew, and then to the Greek. He encourages and teaches those in Rome not to be ashamed of the gospel because it is powerful. Why do you love the word of God? Hopefully you love the word of God because it's power. I don't want people to obey the gospel. I don't want people to come forward and repent because of me, but because of the word of God and their love for the word of God and because of the power of the word of God. First Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul paints a perfect picture. He says he preached and taught them, and they received it, and by receiving and following it, they were saved. The power to save, for the word of God is the power to save to those who believe and trust and follow it. Why do I love the word of God? Maybe we ought to fall in love with the word of God because of its power to save. Just being a good person is not good enough. I've heard people say, well, you telling me because this person haven't obeyed the gospel, you're going to tell me that good 85-year-old little lady who never hurt anyone alive, you're going to tell me she's condemned and headed to hell? I'm just telling you what the scripture says. She can only be saved by the power of the gospel, by the power of the word of God, by obeying it and following it. Why do I love the word of God? Because of his power. Power to save those who would follow it. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Seem to be a prescription there. First of all, James tells them to get rid of something. Get rid of all the sin and wickedness is in their lives. Then he goes on, he says to receive something. Receive what? Receive the word of God, which is able to save their souls. Do you see it right there? That the word of God is the power to save the souls of those who are willing to follow it. Why do I love the word of God? Well, I love the word of God, people, as members of the Lord's church, because of its power to save. Things I love. Well, I fall in love with the word of God. First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul says that the preaching of the message of the cross, preaching of the word of God to those who are perishing, is foolishness. That's the way they saw it. But to those who believed and were saved, it was a power of God. Why do I love word of God? Because of its power to save. Because of its very power to save. Now, secondly, as we think on things I love,
I love the Word of God because it's a guiding, it's a guide for our lives.
It's a guide for life. It's a very guide for life. Some people have compared the Bible to a compass. Oh, about 30-some years ago or longer, I had this big old idea floating in my mind when I was in high school that I wanted to be a forester. And I studied forestry, and as I was studying forestry, they gave us a compass. And we took this compass, and we learned to use the compass to guide us to this direction, to that direction. And it was pretty neat. You could start in one point and make it to another point where he's going. I guess you would say similar to a GPS, I guess you could say. But you know what? The Word of God is our compass. The Word of God is a guide to all those who choose to follow it in life. Why do I love the Word of God? I love the Word of God because it is a guide for my life. I do not know how, neither do you if you would admit it. You don't know how to live your life apart from the Word of God. Jeremiah 10:23 says it very clearly. Oh Lord, I know the way of man, not in him that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah, hundreds and hundreds of years back, Jeremiah says, don't know how to walk. Don't know how to live spiritually apart from the Word of God. It is so today with you and I. We don't know how to live our lives spiritually. We make a big mess. We fall into sin. We get all wrapped up and tangled up in sin when we try to guide our own lives. Why do I love the Word of God? Because it is the guide for my life and is to be the guide for your life as you serve God. In Psalms 119, look at Psalms 119. We'll start at verse 105. Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think I told this story to the young adult class this morning about being a kid, spending time with my grandfather. We would travel through little trails and paths at night, and being very dark, we could not see where it was going, but grandfather had an old flashlight, and we would use the old flashlight. We'd shine it there on the path, and you could travel along, and it would keep you from stepping on snakes and falling in holes. But sometimes the flashlight would get really dim, and we'd take the flashlight and screw the back off and put about 2 pennies in the back and put the back back on, and the light would get a little bit brighter, and then we could see where we were going. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. It's a light, it's a lamp to our path, so we can see where we're going in our lives. It's a guide in this world that sometimes is so dark. It shines on the path of life, so we can see where we walk and how we're living. Why do I love the Word of God? Because it's the guide for my life. It's the only guide for man's life on how to live spiritually. While in the book of Psalms, flip back to chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. In Psalm chapter 19, if you start at verse number 7 and go down, it says a lot about the characteristics of the Word of God. And picking up at verse number 8 in Psalms chapter 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Enlightening the eyes. making things known before the eyes. You know, when we're walking in darkness apart from the Word of God, we don't know where we're going. But with the Word of God, it puts a light before us. Now we can clearly see what's right and what's wrong. Prior to that, either we didn't care or we didn't know. One of the two. Yes, we ought to love the Word of God because it brings forth a light as to God for our lives. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. As Proverb writers say, buy the truth and sell it not. Obtain the truth and sell it not. Why? What's so important about obtaining the truth and not letting go of it? Well, it's by following truth, our lives are guided. We cannot live our lives apart from truth. We don't know how. The writer encouraged us to buy the truth, acquire the truth, sell it not let go of it. When I fail to acquire truth and let go of it, I'm now traveling in darkness. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going. But see, when you acquire truth, the Word of God, John 17:17, and you follow it, now you have a guide. Now you have a compass for life. You know where you're going. You know if you continue to follow it, remain faithful in it, and you die faithful, you know that heaven is your home. Things I love. We ought to love the Word of God. Why? Because it's the guide for our lives. I saw someone wearing a t-shirt a few years ago that said that the Bible is a manual of instructions for man. And that's true, isn't it? We need the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, as our manual, as our instruction guide on how to live, what to say, what to do, where to go, to sum it all up. It's our guide in this life. It's our guide in a wicked world. It's our guide in a sinful world. It's our guide to avoid all the holes and pitfalls that Satan has before us. It's our guide, and we ought to love it, people. If we don't love it and desire it, we too wind up walking and traveling in darkness. Things I love. Oh, we all love the Word of God. Well, I'd be passionate for it. Go back to Psalms 119. The verse is 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The psalmist seemed to be so in love with the Word of God. If you read the book from verse number one all the way through the chapter, he's constantly praising God's word, constantly seemed to be thankful for the Word of God. Here he talks about the Word of God giving him light, so that he may be able to travel a light that guide him in this world. Things I love. We ought to love the Word of God because it has the power to save, and secondly, because it's a guide for our lives. Now, thirdly, as we talk about the reason as to why we ought to love the Word of God, maybe we ought to have a great love for the Word of God because of its comfort and encouragement that we find in it. Because of its comfort and encouragement that we find in it. I don't know about you. Maybe you live above the plane I live on. But in this life,
There's times when I get down. There's times when I get discouraged. I'm not always smiling and laughing and joking and having fun. There's times when life gets me down. There's times when I get fed up with the people I'm around. And there's times when I'm not that excited to see the next day. But what's so great is to know that we have the Word of God to encourage us, to comfort us, to build us up, to go on one more day. When you open up the Bible and you read great scriptures such as Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You read that whole chapter, to me it's encouraging. It builds you up to continue to go on. Because there are so many things in this world that tears us down. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, as it speaks about the old law, it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Things beforehand, the old law and the old scripture. Not only does the old scripture, but also the new scripture, the new law. The Bible as a whole, we find comfort in it as we read it. We learn and find comfort in it as we read it. Strengthening us to go on one more day. Building our faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." As our faith is built, we become more encouraged. We find encouragement and comfort from the Word of God. How many times do you find yourself feeling real down? Feeling real bad? We're going to outlaw those things one day. And all of a sudden, you stop and you pick up the scriptures and you begin to read, and all said and done, you get that strength to carry on, to go on. In Psalms chapter 119, look at Psalms 119 again. Psalms 119. And verse number 50, the writer says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." He found comfort in the word of God. As you read the Psalms, you will see that the psalmist, he had some problems along the way. Everything wasn't great for him. He struggled with some things. And throughout reading this psalm, the writer constantly talks to us about how he relies upon the scriptures. Here he talks about the comfort that he gets from the scriptures, from God's words. I love the word of God. You should love the word of God because of the comfort and encouragement that you get from it. I've heard some people say, "Well, why don't we just eliminate Wednesday night services?" For me, I find comfort and encouragement coming here on Wednesday night, hearing a brother get up and speak. Like last week, Zach's message was very encouraging. Zach talked about those who say they love Jesus, love God, but really not by their actions. I found encouragement in that. It reminded me of something, encouraged me to move on, to continue. See, we find comfort, we find encouragement from the scriptures. Why do I love the word of God? Well, because of the comfort and encouragement that I find in it. Psalms chapter 27. Psalms 27. In Psalms 27, you find the psalmist here, again, having some problems. But look at verse number 14, towards the end of it. He says,
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
How encouraging that is.
And we too can learn to wait on the Lord in faith through our trials and through the troubles we have, and be of good courage and learn to rely and trust on God. For as you open up the scriptures, they should encourage you and comfort you as you read and study them.
Things I love. Do you love the scriptures? Hopefully you love the scriptures because of the comfort and encouragement it provides for you each and every day.
Fourthly and last, reason as to why you ought to love the scriptures is a pretty simple point. We ought to love the scriptures because they're right. Because the scriptures are right. Because they are right. I can remember probably about 45 years ago, there was a song came out, and this person was singing this song. Evidently, someone wrote the song, and the song said that the Bible is right, then evidently somebody else is wrong about some things. And that's true. If we have doubts about something being right or wrong spiritually, we can always go to the scriptures. For the scriptures are right. If you're in the book of Psalm, flip about 4 pages forward to chapter 33. In chapter 33, verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. For the word of the Lord is right. Psalmist doesn't say that it might be right, or he think it could be right, or there's a possibility someone told him that they thought it might be right. He says that the word of the Lord is right. Oh, we ought to love it. We ought to fall in love with the word of God simply because it's right. It's right. It's right. It's right. And sometimes we may get upset with it because it condemns something we're doing, but that doesn't change the fact. It still is right. Sometimes we may want to twist it and turn it to fit something we love to do. That doesn't change things because it's still right. It was right 20 years ago. It was right 40 years ago. Back in 1870, the word of God was right. All of a sudden, within the last 10 to 15 years, people are trying to say, well, maybe we don't need the Bible. It's not really that accurate. I disagree. For the psalmist says, for the word of the Lord is right. That's why I love it. That's why we ought to love the word of God, because it's right. In Psalm chapter 19, verse number 8, the psalmist says basically the same thing as he gives the credentials of the word of God. In the midst of it, he says, they're right. They are right. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the writer gives 3 characteristics of the word. He says that they are true. He says that they endure forever. And thirdly, he goes on and says they are righteous judgments. Why should we love the word of God? Because they are right. Things I love. Of all the things that we say we love, we ought to fall in love with the word of God because they're right.
Did you know that the Word of God has never, ever steered anyone wrong? I cannot go wrong if I follow the Word of God. See, I go wrong and I sin when I depart from the Word of God and travel my own path. But if I follow the Word of God, God has never, ever steered anyone wrong. Because the Word of God is right. That's why we ought to love it. I love the Word of God because it's right. Last scripture, Psalms 119, verse 128. Psalms 119, verse 128. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Seems as though the psalmist draws a conclusion pertaining to the Word of God. It says, you know, concerning all things I consider to be right. He makes a statement that, concerning all things, God and His Word is right. And that's the conclusion you and I need to come to. Pertain to the Word of God. Everything pertains to the Word of God. It's just everyday right. Things I love. One thing that we should love is the Word of God. Why? Well, we ought to love the Word of God because it's the power to salvation, or rather the power to save. We ought to love the Word of God because it's the guide for our life in the very dark world. We ought to love the Word of God because it's the comfort and encouragement that we have each and every day. We ought to love the Word of God because, simply, because it's right. It is right. Jesus makes a great statement in John chapter 14 and verse 15, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said the true test of love is keeping and holding on to my words, to my commandments, to things of which you find in the scriptures. The scripture makes it very clear that if you are a Christian and you're in sin, you're following sin, you need to repent. You turn away from that sin. That being the case this evening with you, you ought to get rid of that sin. Walk away from it. Let go of it. Turn from it. If you're here this evening as a Christian, please make the right decision. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian. And you can live right. You can serve God. And you can fall in love with the church. And you can be in love with the Word of God. But you have to start here first by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Have your sins washed away. And from that point, rising up out of the water, brand new creature, new start, new attitude, loving the church, and loving the Word of God. Or you can leave here this evening, not making the change, remaining in sin. As a song we're going to sing, what will your answer be? What will your answer be? And if you leave here this evening without correcting sin in your life, or not, without becoming a Christian, it's obvious what your answer is. You may and may not get another chance. But on the day of judgment, it's going to be too late to ask for another chance. You stop and you think about this. What will your answer be as we sing the invitation song?